3 FM K1 weather just ahead of a community connection this morning. Clouds and an overnight low in the, or make that a daytime high in the 30s, then an overnight low in the 20s and upper 30s for tomorrow. 29 degrees. Community connection this morning brought to you by First Baptist Church. And Diane and I are switching roles a little bit. You're normally not in here quite this early, at least on the air normally. At about this time, anyway.
But we're going to talk today about Crime Stoppers, which I know you know what the essential stuff is that everybody knows. Like, you call them if you want to report a crime. You can remain anonymous. Maybe you get a reward.
Yeah.
You know, always, I don't guess. Depends on what the crime is or maybe what your information is.
Two things, and I guess I'll say why Charlie's talking about it. I know it's common knowledge for those that listen regularly. I am chairman of the local board, and then also serve on the National Board of Directors for Crime Stoppers USA. If not every tipster, whether it's a call or phone or whatever,
or email,
mm-hmm. or whatever, it gets a reward. That determination, first of all, is typically made by the police coordinator, which technically is not a member of the Crime Stoppers board. They're not a voting member.
Okay.
They're an advisor to the board. the police coordinator locally, we have actually two. We have Nathan Mellon, who's the assistant coordinator, and then also David Hackler, who is our coordinator and has been for the last several years locally, kind of comes to the board and say, okay, we received a tip from someone who said this, which was the deciding factor that led to an arrest. And that's kind of the determining factor. Does your information lead to an arrest?
Right. And sometimes I'm sure you get tips for, and it's doesn't have anything to do with anything. Somebody trying to get someone else in trouble, I'll bet.
There have last year particularly, as I understand it, and again, what I see is second and third hand, but there was apparently what was described to me as a neighborhood quarrel, where somebody was informing on their neighbor that they're doing this and that, and the neighbor was apparently knew what was going on, and they were informing on the other person.
That's kind of a sad way to get revenge on somebody, that's for sure. Anyways, all right. So Crime Stoppers, and there's a lot of. I mean, I know that I've seen some of the stories you've written about crime of the week and whatever. Most of the time, it's stolen. It seems credit cards and stuff like that.
That's at least locally. That seems to be what our law enforcement agencies want some help on. So yeah. And I think also because stolen credit cards, you've got a photo or something that the public can identify with, as opposed to just a description of
wearing a dark hoodie. Okay,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
everybody
but,
you see.
Yeah, but part of it is also just the fact that, we all like to talk about what we've done or what criminals do the same.
Right.
And sometimes they like to brag to their friends, and a percentage, I don't know the percentage nationally, but it happens locally as well, where you've got one person that, okay, you don't know for sure, but basically by the way they're talking, they're probably a drug dealer and they're informing on some other drug dealer.
Yeah. Right. All right. Any idea on how many calls approximately Crime Stoppers has received, maybe just in Washington County? Or
I just happened to have printed out the statistics
just
because calendar year 2015 is not over, so I went back and looked at 2014's numbers. Okay. And we received, let me get the year-to-date numbers
is
here.
Is it just for Washington County or includes Nowata and Osage?
It is for Washington, Osage, and then Washington and Nowata. We kind of share Osage County. There's a program in Ponca City that kind of takes the western side
of the
largest county in the state. So, as far as calls received last year, and now for the local program, 112 calls by actual telephone call. There were also an additional, 220 that were either text or web tips through our web. Email, we don't like email because there's no good way to sanitize the
where did it come from? Kenya?
And also your email address is attached to it somewhere, but there is technology to scrub off the IP address of the computer you're using, and you can scrub off the telephone number of a text message.
Okay.
So, but there's no good way yet that technology has come around to scrub off your email address.
And did a percentage percentage of those result in arrests?
Yes, of the total. Well, this is, I'm looking just at the phone calls. There were, of the 112 phone calls in calendar year 2014, those resulted in 18 arrests and additional charges that maybe someone had already been known to police, but resulted in 24 additional charges that were laid on. Also, it was able to let the police department just clear additional six cases. So it was information that they probably may have been something where they were pretty sure they knew who the individual was, but this was the tipping point that say, okay, now we've got enough to make the arrest.
Just like us with our news stories. We got the information, but we got to have confirmation.
Exactly, yeah.
Right, okay. And how does Crime Stoppers, do you guys like go to neighborhood watch associations?
We have made presentations and attended neighborhood watch associations. I remember going to an Oak Park meeting a couple of times. Have attended the Dewey Neighborhood Watch that meets at the library, and would be happy to talk with others. Those are the ones that I remember going to.
Okay, and what kind of tips do you give people in those neighborhood watches? You give them tips like on how to watch for crime and be aware and things like that?
Yeah, and I think a lot of that is common sense, that maybe if you were talking to a police officer, they might say the same sort of thing as far as, a dark house at night, if there's better lighting around the house, someone's less likely to hide in the bushes. Keep your bushes well trimmed. Don't let them get up above the windows and that sort of thing, so somebody can hide behind your house, particularly at this time of year where you're getting out of the car, you're running into the garage, you're not really looking around the house in the summertime.
Because it's dark and cold.
in the summertime where people, are out mowing their lawn or doing things, less likely that you're going to see someone hiding in the bushes,
Okay, all right. And you ready to take a little break?
Yeah, we can do that, we'll continue in just a moment.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
Continuing our time a little bit, Diane and I are talking about Crime Stoppers, and we talk a little bit locally, but Diane, I wanted to at least give a little bit of history of how the idea of Crime Stoppers started. And of course, you and I haven't talked about it either on or off the air, but it is a partnership between law enforcement, the media, and the community itself.
Okay.
And of course, Crime Stoppers programs are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. So that when you're talking to Crime Stoppers, you're not talking to the police. You're talking to a separate organization that works.
Citizens.
Each of them are run by a citizen volunteer board of directors. But Crime Stoppers got started nearly 40 years ago. It'll be 40 years ago next year.
Okay.
A young college student by the name of Michael Carman was shot to death during the robbery of an Albuquerque, New Mexico Phillips 66 station.
Okay.
And a detective named Greg McAleese just had no idea who was responsible. There was no video surveillance at the time.
Right.
And this was no witnesses came forward. Brutal shotgun slaying. Apparently would remain a mystery, and McAleese, who had worked for a newspaper before joining the police department, said maybe the media can scare something up. And so he convinced the idea to a TV station of a video reenactment of what they believe happened. And they actually paid for the video reenactment, the whole production of it out of his own pocket.
Uh-huh.
And the television set station showed the reenactment and said, if if you know anything, call this number. And of course, caller ID really wasn't a factor 40 years ago.
No.
they basically said call the TV station, and it was.
Oh, so instead of the people having to call the police, they called the TV station.
They called the TV station, right. Yeah, and within hours, they had the calls from the public that, you know, you put this what this person said and what this person said together, and they were able to piece enough information to actually go make an arrest of the person that ended up with this, you know, charges, first-degree murder and the armed robbery of a gas station.
See, the media is good for something, and that's what I just a quick note on something of my own.
Yeah.
Listeners, if you see something you think might be a story, don't be making stuff up. But if you see something that you think might be serious, call the police first, of course. But, you know, if you want to let us know, because we like to let people know what's going on, especially when there's an accident blocking traffic, then, you know, we can let other people know about it. And just other things, anything that might be newsworthy. Maybe it's not, but maybe it is.
Yeah, well, and that, you know, that's the same thing. Like the police eventually had to make that decision. Is this information usable? Is, you know, actionable news for us? Is, you know, we still have to go verify the facts.
Right,
again, for the police, if you don't know what other people know, you know, I don't care how large your police department is.
You can't ask everybody.
If you are the size of the Los Angeles Police Department or New York or whatever, you still don't have eyes and ears everywhere all the time.
Because there's a lot more people there.
And you know, people know things, and they, you know, if the public does it for the right reasons, and a lot of the tips that any Crime Stoppers program gets, the person never picks up their reward. You know, they either never check back to see if it was approved, or even I would say a large percentage of rewards that are approved by Crime Stoppers boards, again, never go collected. Last year, let's use the since inception locally, since Bartlesville Crime Stoppers program has been in existence, the approved awards, $58,135,000.
Okay.
$58,135,000. Paid out rewards, $49,615.
Okay.
So, you know, between $8,000 and $9,000 difference between awards that were approved by the local board and never picked up by the person that it was due.
It's either the person decided they didn't deserve it, didn't need it. They were afraid to come and get it because they were afraid they might be connected to the crime.
That's a possibility, although awards.
I know it's not, but people. Are going to think that.
I can speak locally, and I can speak, there are different ways that different programs pay out awards, but usually it's through some financial institution, and locally we have several that we work with.
A bank, and people go and pick their reward up at one of the banks.
They identify themselves at a bank and with a code number. You know, I'm here to pick up something for code number 1234567.
Right.
And the Crime Stoppers program has already basically put an envelope, you know, with the cash in it. They always pay cash, so that it's not, you know, traceable to anybody. And usually in small denomination bills, even on a large payout, typically, so that again, somebody who you know, doesn't all of a sudden seen with several $100 bills or whatever.
Right.
It's, what are you doing? Well, we don't want to raise that suspicion with their friends and acquaintances.
Right. Yeah. All right. Exactly. That wouldn't be good.
And so you know, it's typically in a cash payout. And then if usually, let's hypothetically pick it up Tuesday afternoon at this institution between 1 and 3 o'clock.
Okay. And narrow it down quite a bit.
And if it's not picked up by, okay, we'll give it an extra window. If not picked up by 4:30, then simply deposited back in our bank account. You know.
Okay. And does Crime Stoppers do any fundraisers?
We're a nonprofit. Right. Name a nonprofit in the world that doesn't do
fundraising. Okay. Well, I was just wondering.
Sure.
And will you have one coming up soon here?
Well, we just completed one the 1st of December we held a raffle raffled off a drone that somebody now under federal law has to register.
Get it registered.
But this was a $1,300 value drone that we were raffling for $20 a chance, and
use it for Crime Stoppers.
actually the individual who won it chose not to accept the prize. They say, let's donate it back to Crime Stoppers. So the $1,300 value of the drone, in addition to the proceeds of the raffle, we get to keep.
That's awesome. A lot of people in raffles do that.
Someone just over the past week or so, I don't remember the exact date, we have a link on our website, neokcs.org, Northeast Oklahoma Crime Stoppers. We have a link that they simply can make a credit card donation. And someone, I don't know their name, so I'll just say thank you to someone there. not anonymous, I just don't know their name, but made a $500 donation through our website. You can do it that way as well. We will have a fundraiser coming up in the spring, but since all the details are not set by my board, I'll
not
just
give
say
it
we will announce another fundraiser in the spring.
Okay. Yeah, but, that drone, that's...
Also, I want to thank several corporate partners that have made grant funds available. ConocoPhillips and Phillips 66 have both made corporate donations over the past 12 months. Other organizations have, but not within the past 12 months. So thank you to those two partners.
Okay. All right. And what else do we have to say about Crime Stoppers? Just people should be aware.
Yeah, I think part
Pay
of
attention.
It is. And again, we haven't had to worry about the anonymity of a tipster being challenged in the court system, but the anonymity of Crime Stoppers tipsters has been challenged all the way to the Supreme Court and has been upheld in every situation.
Good.
There have been court cases where a defense attorney has to file subpoena saying, we need your information for X whatever.
Right.
And the Crime Stoppers programs across the nation have always filed motions to quash. And even, we don't know the identity of the caller. Let's say a caller. First of all, caller ID is scrubbed off before the phone ever is answered.
Okay.
And the same thing with that. And again, our technology has been tested through other means to know that we don't know the identity of the caller. So
that's good. Encourage people.
We don't know. We can't say. And even when it comes down to the legal challenges, we can't give what we don't know.
Nationally,
yeah.
Just because I got to ask,
sure.
Do you know maybe what the most serious crime that was solved by a Crime Stopper tip?
I cannot document because I don't have firsthand knowledge of
this,
but I know that there have been several terrorism-related tips that have been prevented, through Crime Stoppers calls, and that there are discussions with some of the Homeland Security to try to work out a nationwide telephone number tip system where the identity is still protected, the anonymity of the tipster is protected, and yet if somebody has national defense type, Homeland Security information, that could be passed along as well.
Well, that's just like local police departments are all connected nationally.
Exactly.
They can with fingerprints and stuff like that.
Exactly. So even whether that information is given publicly to a law enforcement officer that's passed up through the fusion centers and everything there, there are talks to try to work something out through a Crime Stoppers program as well.
All right. Well, now we know more about Crime Stoppers than we did before.
And again, if someone would like to, we also have a fundraiser that is ongoing. If someone would like to, say, donate a car, vehicle that we've had trucks and cars. I don't believe we've had a motorcycle, but we would accept it. donated. We're basically Paul's Wrecker Service will go pick up the vehicle, whether it's running or not. If you have a clean title for your vehicle, and then we would basically sell the vehicle for whatever cash value or
a
dealer would give.
Auction it or take it to the scrapyard.
Whether it's a junk or actually a drivable vehicle, depending on what, and then give you the tax deductible receipt for the proceeds of that sale so that you get the vehicle out of your yard and Crime Stoppers gets the benefit.
All right. Well, we're out of time, I think.
We are. So again, if somebody would like more information, go to our website, neokcs.org, or it would also go from the letter B, crimestoppers.com. They both point to our website.
Okay,
and,
good deal.
Okay. Thank you very much. And that's a Community Connection, of course, brought to you this morning by First Baptist Church on AM 1400, K1, 29 degrees and 5 minutes before 9 o'clock.
ONN News, I'm Randy.